Productions and the Northwest Premiere of Bronte. And at 11:30, Art Focus speaks to Beresford Booth from the Portland Art Museum about the current exhibition, Constructing Identity. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. Good night, Ken.
Good night, Sal.
Good night, Danielle.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Critical Resistance Portland is a group of dedicated prison industrial complex abolitionists. KBOO's Karen James spoke with Critical Resistance Portland about mental health care, not policing, their campaign to shift away from the use of Portland police as first responders when people are suffering a mental health crisis. Critical Resistance Portland will hold a meeting on February 25th to share ideas and build a coalition to work toward decreasing Portland's reliance on police.
I'm here with Maria Boyer and Corey Lira from Critical Resistance Portland. Corey, who is Critical Resistance Portland, and why are you interested in a campaign to stop Portland police as first responders in a mental health crisis?
Well, Critical Resistance Portland is a chapter of a national movement to abolish the prison industrial complex. And often the narrative is that the system is broken and we need to fix it. And for us, it's really about saying the system is designed to work exactly the way it is right now, which is to control, harm, cage our communities, and to be part of the system of violence that's really about state control of those most vulnerable communities. And so for us, this is about really addressing that long-term vision of abolition for real community safety, justice, and healing. So we, a few years ago, did a series of community forums really looking at policing in Portland. And the biggest theme that came out of those forums that, you know, invited people from the community to come join us was this theme around this need for community self-determined options around mental health. And so when we were looking at the impact of policing in Portland, we saw this story really emerge around policing resulting in many deaths and violence and the imprisonment of people who really were seeking out mental health services. And so for us, that became an opportunity to really explore that in depth and resulted in our campaign.
And you said a few years ago, was this around the same time that the United States Department of Justice was investigating the Portland police for use of excessive force against people who were perceived to have or had mental illness?
Our work is not in response to that directly, but I think that that was something that came up for us around, you know, who's the most vulnerable right now in our community for being targeted by the police. And I think that was another element of the research we did, was seeing that documentation of folks being targeted. For us, it's not about making police better equipped at policing. We want to actually abolish the police and instead have community-based alternatives that provide that real meaningful care and support that we deserve for healing, for safety, for justice. And so there definitely were plenty of initiatives. I think because that's less of our focus, we haven't followed those as directly as we have the harm in our communities and the continuing documentation of that. I do think that we've seen more conversations around what it means to actually offer mental health care in Portland, but unfortunately, I think that's resulted in more funding of the police and to, in my opinion, erroneously provide mental health care through policing. And as we've seen with, you know, the recent year anniversary of Christopher Kalonji's story, you know, police arriving on a mental health call and that young Black man being killed. So I think as much as we're talking about it, we're still also seeing the real impact in our community of policing not being able to provide that real meaningful mental health service.
And Maria, most officers are trained in crisis intervention, where they learn de-escalation techniques to help people who are experiencing a crisis. Do you feel that this training is inadequate?
I would say yes, that it is inadequate based on the fact that there is no amount of training the police could be provided with that would get them to a level of like so-called like adequacy to respond appropriately to people in crisis because of the high incidence rates we've seen even in the aftermath of extensive training for police officers in Portland.
What is the current process in Portland when a family member or an individual experiencing a mental health crisis calls for help?
From my understanding, there's a couple different directions that can go. Generally, if it's a 911 call, they may or may not have a police officer dispatched. They may or may not have a police officer dispatched who's been trained. They may or may not have a police officer dispatched that has also a mental health provider that goes with them. And so there's not a way to guarantee that a trained mental health provider arrives in that circumstance. Definitely there's been times when you call a non-emergency line where that can be more common than a mental health provider can accompany the police. But again, none of this is really guaranteed or consistent. You know, often the services provided are meant to be, you know, acute intervention, but not intended to provide any long-term care. And so this often means that someone in crisis is arrested and jailed instead of being transported or taken to an actual mental health care providing resource. And in other circumstances, they may be taken to those places where imprisonment in jail is still a maybe at some point in that pipeline for mental health care. You know, part of us wanting to disconnect policing from mental health care in Portland is really about making sure that if someone's in crisis, if a family were to have an option to call, that the option would result in a mental health care provider for sure arriving, being able to provide that care, provide that intervention, and have an opportunity to have long-term care implemented to support that person instead.
So, Corey, you said you had forums that led you to this campaign. What were some of the stories that you heard during those forums around policing and people with mental illness?
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the stories and things we heard at these forums were specifically around people on two sides of it not feeling like they had any resources to help themselves and their loved ones when they know that someone was experiencing a mental health crisis because they couldn't rely on the police, which is our only real option in Portland, as a first responder. And so it was a lot of fear and anxiety and voicing of a real danger that exists for someone having the police called on them. And so seeing this gap and this deficit in our community. So there was many stories around families really thinking about their loved ones in response to mental health. And there was certainly folks who had voiced their experience of police arriving for mental health and not experiencing any care. Instead receiving brutality, violence, and an assumption that that person was doing something that was deserving of being arrested, not actually receiving care.
So your campaign is called Mental Health Care, Not Policing. So you are calling for an end to use of police as first responders.
Yes.
And if not the police, who would respond?
Well, that's why we're having this campaign meeting on Saturday the 25th. And we're hoping to be able to bring both providers, people who've experienced mental health crises and would have experienced a police officer as a first responder, folks from organizations, individuals, just anyone who's committed to this, to come together and build a coalition to really think about the two pieces of this campaign, which are really around that disconnecting of police as first responders. And then the second part, which would be to actually develop and build out and amplify the resources that currently exist in Portland. There certainly are amazing providers in the community who don't call the cops when someone's going through a circumstance. How do we connect people to those resources? How do we make sure that people know that police don't have to be the call made when someone's going through something? So we want to make sure that we're creating a coalition that can uplift both those pieces, that defunding and disconnection of police as first responders, and also that community self-determined option being built out to really provide that meaningful and real care that we need.
Does the Unity Behavioral Health Center provide another tool for the police who encounter people who are in mental health crisis?
Well, the Unity Center still collaborates with the police. The police can transport individuals who are experiencing mental health crises to the Unity Center. And to us, that's still the presence of police first responding to situations. They still have to come onto the scene in order to transport a person to the Unity Center. And there's a lot of gray area for potential interaction between folks in the community in crisis and the police. That's still of concern to us.
How do you propose to take the Portland Police Bureau out of this whole process as first responders in a mental health crisis?
So one of the things that Critical Resistance has been looking at is responding to the proposed budget for the new year and the budget hearings that are coming up in March. The police budget is facing a $2 million increase for this year, and $73 million of that budget goes to, quote, emergency response and problem solving. And we are working on campaigning to reduce and eliminate the aspect of the budget that is allotted for mental health response that is inadequate and, like, dysfunctional. A lot of the response and a lot of the like, on-the-ground tangible tools that you're asking about in terms of how is this going to happen are things that we are only going to know once we are in the room and talking with the community, with mental health providers, with organizations, people invested in the same goal that we are.
Critical Resistance has done some really powerful work in Oakland. You know, most of us know about how heavily the Oakland community is policed, including those experiencing mental health and health crises. And so the chapter down there has done some really powerful work around identifying similar needs around shifting our reliance on police as first responders back into community resources. So part of it, of course, is going to be the defunding and the shifting of money allocated from one first responder resource to another or to something different. But it also is about realigning and reassessing our reliance on the police and creating a cultural shift around using police in that capacity. And so part of it is making police obsolete because we're no longer relying on them. And we've seen that work happen in Oakland. We've seen the ability for the community medic organizations down there to be able to actually be the first responders who arrive, to have your neighbor be a first responder so that you're actually getting that timely service. And to know that it's your neighbor who's not going to kill you like a police officer might. And so that's been an incredibly powerful way to really think about reestablishing what it means to have real care, safety, and justice in our communities. And we don't have to rely on police. I think it's something we've accepted, we've grown into, we've developed as this very deep-seated belief. But what if we called somebody else? What if we stopped calling the police and we actually called the people that could provide what we're looking for? You know, thinking about it in the sense of, you know, myself as someone who has a loved one in my family with mental health issues, and I would never call the police. I would know who to call because I would never want to put my loved one in jeopardy. And to me, calling the police on them does. What would be a real meaningful option would be someone else who's actually trained, who has extensive training in both mental health and de-escalation that could do that service. And that's what I want for my family.
Maria, Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler will be seeking candidates for a new Portland police chief. What message would you have for Mayor Wheeler?
I'm not interested in Mayor Wheeler doing a national hunt for a police chief that's somehow supposedly the best and the most experienced in police coupling with mental health services. I think that's a contradiction. I know that Mayor Wheeler has made it an immense campaign platform of his throughout the years to amend the way that police relate to mental health. And the critical resistance response to that would be that we don't want there to be a police chief at all, new or old. That's not going to bring about solutions to the problem that we see between police and first response to mental health.
So, Corey, talk about the February 25th event again.
Yes. So we're really excited, and we are hoping to bring together, you know, as many folks who share a vision or are interested in sharing a vision around shifting our reliance on police as first responders back into community self-determined options. And our role that we hope to provide is really to facilitate this conversation, to bring these folks together who want to build out a coalition to really see this campaign through, whether that's looking at police budgets or, you know, different aspects of campaigning and different parts of uplifting and amplifying community resources.
So when, where, what time?
When, February 25th from 10 to 3 p.m. Where, you'll need to RSVP to get that information, so you can email us at crpdx@criticalresistance.org, or you can find our event on Facebook, which is called Mental Health Care Not Policing. You can also find us on Facebook under our page as well, which is just Critical Resistance Portland. Yeah, we'll provide lunch, childcare if you need it, and we're really hoping to have as many folks there as possible.
I've been speaking with Maria Boyer and Corey Lira from Critical Resistance Portland. For KBOO News, I'm Karen James.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Seed to Table Supper Event to benefit Cully Community Clinic on Saturday, February 25th at 5 p.m. at the Side Yard Farm and Kitchen in Portland. Chef Stacy Givens will host the Seed to Table dinner array with herbal cocktails and wine. This supper event will support Seasonal Wellness Clinic and the rehabilitation of its trailer and to stock the clinic with supplies. Again, that's the Seed to Table supper event to benefit Cully Community Clinic on Saturday, February 25th at 5 p.m. at the Side Yard Farm and Kitchen, 4800 Northeast Simpson Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Time is now 6 p.m. You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM. This is Labor Radio. I'm Nick Bubb, your host. I'm here with...
Michael Cathcart.
Michael, how are you?
Doing great. How are you doing, Nick?
Doing fantastic. I want to give a special shout out to our wonderful sound engineer, Danielle. She brings us to you wherever you're at. And special thanks to everyone that donated to KBOO recently.
Yes, indeed.
We love doing this live program. We love being on the air, getting the word out about the labor movement. And if you are out there listening and you want to talk labor with us tonight, the number to call is 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. So a little bit later, we're going to be talking about Trump's new pick for labor secretary.
Yes, indeed.
I'm not going to say it's an improvement